Thanks for downloading the Beyond the Money podcast. If you hear anything on today's show that you need clarity on or to make that first consultation, give the team a call, 727-334-0024, or always online at mycampbellandco.com. As always, thanks for listening. Now, let's get to the show.
Hi, this is Jackie Campbell, president and founder of Campbell & Company Wealth Advisors and CPAs, and I have a great guest, and I'm excited to have a conversation with Dr. Cody Garaguzlu. Hopefully I didn't pronounce it correctly.
Perfect.
Cody is a PhD. You're an MRI physicist. You have a company with your wife over in Orlando, Florida, Imaginostics. So it's imaging and diagnostics kind of put together. And also in school, I mean, you had this great study that you had with how imaging can really help somebody kind of, you know, prior planning. We talk about that in retirement planning and beyond the money, and health is absolutely one of the most important parts of our financial plan, our retirement plan. And so tell me a little bit about that and some of the knowledge that you've gained.
Sure. You know, I think we're living in a really sort of exciting era with healthcare, and it's really about a convergence of technologies, right? AI is one of them. You know, Peter Diamandis' book, The Future is Faster Than You Think, sort of sums it up. But it's this idea that, you know, AI plus anything, so many different technologies coming together. We tend to think linearly, you know, like kind of where we are today and kind of project, but it might be happening faster. And so, you know, people are saying maybe in the next 10 years, we might even be aging backwards kind of thing. So it's a little bit counterintuitive type of thinking and quite exciting. Yeah.
Well, I'm a big fan of, you know, prior planning, right? Especially with numbers and math. And obviously you're engineer minded and you're, you know, gone into the medical career. So you've kind of put those two different fields together and just really got some great developments. And kind of when I first spoke to you, one of my thoughts was the late, great Toby Keith, the song that he wrote about, you know, trying to, you know, make sure not let the old man in or old woman in. And I think we all try to do that. And, you know, I love that one phrase about, if you didn't know the day you were born, how old would you be? And I guess with all your testing, you're able to tell someone's age now by your health, by your bio, not just a number.
That's right. I mean, I was at this conference, the Biomarkers of Aging Conference, happened just a few months ago in the San Francisco area. And so telling what your biological age now is sort of a whole topic area now that, you know, has its own conference with it, right? And biomarkers of aging, I mean, you can think about, you know, now, for example, with AI, you can take images of somebody's face or maybe just, you know, around here on the eyes, and you can say, you know, what is their age compared to their biological age? But those biomarkers don't really help, for example, in drug development so much for therapeutics geared toward longevity, because we need to be able to describe what's happening inside the body, you know, and it has to be at a level where aging takes place, which is really at like the cellular level. And so the Biomarkers of Aging Conference, for example, is sort of, you know, birthed out of that, this idea of how can we, you know, judge the biological age of people. And mainly what people are working on now are sort of these epigenetic clocks where, you know, basically from a blood sample, you can sort of designate a number. The imaging technology that I've developed, it's a 10x better vascular imaging technology, and it comes with a novel set of biomarkers for quantifying the vascular physiology. So, you know, sort of moving beyond these sort of black and white images, like you might have thought in the old, you know, in the old days, we had the black and white television without sound, right? So now we're sort of adding color and sound, if you will, a lot more information. And so, you know, what we're finding is that by quantifying the structure, the function, and the leakage of the vasculature and the way that we do it, we can really sort of assess a biological age. And that's kind of cool. And so it permits us to look at the health of any organ from that, you know, vascular sort of features. And then the idea is to be able to tell the health of any organ in your body. And then ultimately as well, to move beyond just another technology for showing what your biological age. And then even, okay, it's cool because it's spatially specific, but then have those biomarkers, which can also be used in drug development, so that when these breakthrough therapeutics, which, you know, a lot of them already exist, right? But they need to be tested, they need to be proven, they need to be more particularly FDA approved. And so how can we show that those drugs are working really for longevity? And it's an exciting time. It's a very exciting time. I think, sort of highlighted maybe by the new X Prize for health, right? So I think it's $100 million, and the hope is that by 2030, we'll have a drug or a therapeutic that can take off 10 years of biological age with the target of 20. So it's sort of the time we're in.
Yeah. And that just is not just to extend your life, but it's just to extend the quality of your life, the overall health from the inside out, not just the physical or Botox or anything like that. It's just actually internally.
Yeah, we're not whitewashing the outside of the cup, right? So that's sort of the point, right? So it's and a lot of people, they think, I don't want to live till I'm 110, 120. But really, when we think about that in the longevity space, we're assuming that you'll be 110, but you'll feel like you're 50, something like this, right? And then, oh, okay, so it's not just how long, but the quality. And it's really if anything, an emphasis on the quality of life. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not just diet. So sometimes there's some genetic things that kind of are at play. But I love, the examples that we had talked about is, not just the anti-aging, but visually with the imaging, being able to detect early if you're going to have, some sort of aging diseases such as Alzheimer's. So tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, so there are, you don't catch Alzheimer's overnight. You don't catch diabetes overnight. You don't wake up with multiple sclerosis, right? So there are so many different diseases that are developing chronically, and we are, in the healthcare system now treating these chronic diseases like late in the game and so on, and even assessing them late in the game. So the idea is that with our technology, by mapping the vasculature, for example, in Alzheimer's disease, we can detect it early. And sort of how it works there is looking at structural features, the vascular density and the function of the vessels really changes quite early in development. And so, for example, a lot of my work as a scientist when I was at Northeastern University and Harvard Medical School before I started the company, and also while I'm at the company, has been in genetically modified animal models. And so we've looked at the APOE4 genetic knock-in model. So APOE4 is the single most significant genetic risk factor for Alzheimer's. And so, we've seen that like at a 20-year-old human equivalent in this model, way before there's any symptoms, way before there's cognitive decline, we see that there's this elevated vascular density. And it's sort of counterintuitive too, because with a neurodegenerative disease, you think, well, it's degeneration, so I'm losing something, right? I'm losing the vascularity, maybe. I mean, and so, but we see that actually early on, that's sort of not the story. The brain, the body does an excellent job at hiding disease as it's developing chronically. And it even adapts to compensate for that dysfunction. And so having an elevated vascular density early is a little bit of a surprising finding, also corroborated by, other scientific literature and so on. But we see that there's a trend, for example, from hypervascularization to at some point having like a normal looking amount of vessels. And then, of course, the hypovascularization later, the lesser vessels later, whenever you do have neurodegeneration. But it's sort of a paradigm shift because now we can sort of see it early. And then what we did was, is that, early on, those structural measurements were so indicative and we could say so clearly between the populations of animals. But later on, like when it's they're not demented yet, like in the test that we do, they don't have, a measurable cognitive impairment. It's a murine model, so take that with a grain of salt. But we see that the vascular density, for example, at like a 60-year-old human equivalent looks the same. But then when we make functional measurements, how fast can those vessels dilate? How much can they dilate? Do they go back to normal after some kind of challenge? That was very indicative. And so we could see a clear night and day difference between the wild type and these APOE4 animals. And so we saw that, combination of these structural and functional features of the vascular physiology then, tell you about the health of the brain in that case. And so now those results, among others, landed us some government funding and some foundation funding, close to about $1.5 million dollars. And so now we're doing the first controlled clinical biomarker study. For the early detection of dementia, looking at, younger people and then older around 70 with and without cognitive impairment and, mapping the structure, the function and the leakage of the blood vessels. So it's an exciting time for us as a company as well, because now we're, clinically at that stage now where we're doing our pivotal clinical study there. And so, yeah, those are the types of things that we're doing. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's really interesting. And thank you for talking about where you went to school. I mean, you've got a really impressive resume with your postdoctoral fellow for 2 years at the Gordon Center for Medical Imaging at Massachusetts General Hospital and Harvard Medical School. So before founding this company, and from bench to bedside is really your goal here. And having a PhD in bioengineering, wow, that's a lot all in one person.
Yeah, I've always loved physics. And so, when I started my undergraduate, I went to Kansas State University because, well, my dad's in the Army, right? So we moved around a lot, but we ended up in Kansas for some time. So, in Kansas State University is great for engineering. And so I went there and I just took whatever classes I wanted. I ended up with a degree in physics and a degree in mechanical and nuclear engineering. And so I just had a passion for physics and engineering and then but really trying to also apply that to healthcare and how can you use this to help people be healed. And so it's been a journey to sort of discover how I can do that. But imaging is really a sweet spot for me. And I did a master's in biophotonics. So this is imaging with lasers and light and electrons. And so that was very cool. And there was a lot of excellent work there. But then, lasers, can't go past a millimeter or so of tissue, right? So these are really medical imaging technologies, perhaps, but for cell culture or for some kind of thing in a dish. And so when I started my PhD in bioengineering, I really focused on medical imaging technologies. And then we just have a handful of them. We have MRI, which is what I focus on. You also have positron emission tomography or PET, sort of the nuclear imaging along with SPECT. You have CT, so any of the X-ray type technologies and ultrasound, sort of, with sound. So, I mean, that's sort of the handful of them, more or less. And, I saw MRI is amazing. Look at it. It's the one that you can see soft tissue with. But, believe it or not, the only thing that we can see, clinicians, when you go to the hospital and you get scanned, they're just looking at black and white images, and, there's no number associated with some kind of quantitative diagnostic. It's all pure visual inspection. So the radiologist is going to look at it. And so we've been so limited with MRI because of the qualitative nature of those images. Whereas we'd like to not only just see the tissue and have a cool looking black and white image, but in the tissue, say, is it a healthy tissue? What's wrong? Is there, for example, leakage of our blood-brain barrier, which should be quite tight, and we don't want proteins getting in there. And that, when you have cognitive impairment, now we know you'll have blood-brain barrier leakage. If you play football, you got CTE, you probably have blood-brain barrier leakage. You've had a head impact, and so on. And so we just haven't been able to get additional insights. And so I really sought to change that paradigm. And so that was sort of my focus when I started, is how do we do that? Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. And I think, they say that, what is it? The wisdom prayer, you kind of ask for the right things to come across your path. And what a great discovery that you've made. And I'm so glad that you're passionate about it. I mean, I'm personally, I like to plan ahead. I don't like surprises. I think once you get to the age of 12 or 13, most surprises are not so great, especially when it's dealing with your health.
Yeah, and if you've got to go get an MRI, I mean, it's great because it's not destructive. There's no ionize. It's a little scary because you go into this tube, that's for sure. There's a lot of sound, but it's not hurting you in any way. However, half of all the MRI scans, when you get a contrast MRI, they're gonna give you a gadolinium-based contrast agent, and this is the sort of toxicity part that comes into the picture. And they do it to highlight the blood vessels. And gadolinium is a toxic heavy metal. It shouldn't be in the body. Now we know 2018 got the black box warning because it accumulates in the tissue, including the brain, of every healthy person that gets it in a linear way. So you can see, the contrast goes up and then you get and it stays there and doesn't go away. And then you get another one and it leaves your blood and you image again and it goes up and it just keeps accumulating. So toxic heavy metal that shouldn't be in your body accumulating. We don't know what the long-term consequences of that are. So the black box warning came and got put on it. And so another sort of advantage to the technology, yes, it's a 10x better image, but also, we use an iron supplement for contrast. So you might even feel a little bit better after this scan. So that's also a huge game changer. And then, by the way, especially as you age, your kidneys may not have the same functionality that they've always had. And 37 million Americans have chronic kidney disease. and they're not generally young people. And then also as you age, the probability that you got to get a scan because something's wrong also goes up. So many of these scans help, happening in the older population, and the kidney function is going down, have chronic kidney disease. Well, you shouldn't be getting gadolinium if you have chronic kidney disease. Stage
Right.
1 to 3, if it's a life-saving procedure, you'll probably get it. It can really have a risk to damage your kidneys even more, might, progress you in chronic kidney disease. Stage 4 and 5, absolutely contraindicated to gadolinium. So now you can't even get a scan if you need it. So that's sort of, the downside of MRI as well. Yes, it's qualitative, and yes, it's even qualitative when you use that contrast agent. Again, you're just eyeballing it and the radiologist is looking at it, but it's also toxic, and so terrible for people with kidney disease, impossible to use for early detection of disease or some kind of preventative diagnostic because you got to have a good reason to get the stuff. So that's a huge, and actually we're going to market with just that 10x better vascular imaging. And so we'll be selling the iron supplement as well. So we're the software that enables the scan plus the sort of iron supplement. It's approved for iron deficiency anemia. So it's a drug for anemia. Essentially, if you can't hold down an iron pill, maybe you get injected with this iron formulation instead. So it's a game changer in terms of safety and quantitative uses. So
And is this available now, or is this something that's going to be available, like if somebody needs to go get an MRI, for example?
yeah, it'll be available in a couple of years. It's something that works amazingly now. I mean, we've even published a head-to-head study. The patients got healthy subjects got gadolinium, and 20 of them, got that regular scan and then our scan. And so we actually did better, and that's where we get the 10x from, because when you look at soft tissue, the radiologist said, "Oh, this is 10x better." When they grade all the different things, the soft tissue is 10x better. So, but yeah, I mean, it works, and the technology's ready. We're going through the FDA now. We actually have just got carved out our sort of FDA pathway. Yeah.
Great. Well, good luck with that. I am just so interested and love hearing about this. Anything we can do to kind of make our lives better, and it is beyond the money. Kind of like our podcast and our radio show. It's not just about the money. And people spend their whole life, accumulating, saving money for retirement, and then they'll spend everything just to get their health back.
That's right. And the Tony Robbins, I'm wearing the Tony Robbins hat. I'm a fan of the guy. He's awesome. He says something like, the healthy person has a million wishes, but the sick person only one, right? So that's right.
Yeah. And are you part of the Fountain of Life over in Orlando, the Orlando area?
So Fountain Life, it's a Tony Robbins company. We are looking to serve them after FDA clearance and approval. So that's sort of the first step there. But the idea is that, they do this, and we have a mutual NDA, so I can't talk too much about it. But what they do is they do a full body MRI scan, full body CT scan, bone DEXA, low dose CT, so it's not really damaging to you either. They do a bone DEXA scan. They do all kinds of blood work, and when the whole thing's done, if there's some disease kind of nascent, kind of in your body that they can detect, hopefully they find it. And then with the MRI scans, it's, there's a company called Pronuvo, for example, that, you go, you get the, so people are doing this now, the full body MRI, apply AI, look for any kind of, and you can find a tumor if it's a centimeter or larger that way. And so that's awesome, but also quite limited. So really the idea is to replace that full body scan with our scan, where you're going to be able to detect much more disease in any organ. So that's sort of the idea.
Yeah, I know there's a lot of different institutions or medical facilities that have like the VIP treatment, like head to toe kind of advanced, imaging and planning and everything from vitamins to do you have extra minerals or toxic chemicals in your body? And like you said with the MRIs, I mean, there's no telling what we've been exposed to all through our years in our lives.
Yeah, I mean, it's something where, if you've got the extra money, there's probably nothing better to invest in than the cutting edge preventative diagnostics, 100%. And we're looking to make that much more better and to improve it. In Japan, I think it's like 40 years old that the healthcare system pays for a preventative scan. So we don't quite have preventative scans that are reimbursed yet in the US, but it's the kind of thing where as our technology comes out and therefore the technology improves so much, it would help everybody, and it's the cost of an MRI scan. So it's not too expensive, and really the payoff is incredible. So, that's the kind of thinking we want to move from this curative healthcare system to a preventative healthcare system. So it's sort of one of our goals. And then of course, the second one is accelerating drug development. So that's our mission.
Yeah, I love it. And what is a good way that we can kind of follow what you're doing as you're progressing? I know you're on LinkedIn, and we'll have your information in our notes below for the podcast. Is there anything else? I know you're a member of the Abundance 360 with Peter Diamantis. I mean, amazing. Just every year, I'm just kind of just sitting there with my mouth wide open, you know, like at the awe at the new technology and the improvements, and love hearing about some of those things as they're happening.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, you can find us at our website, imaginostics.com. You can find me at, you know, CODI, my name, my first name, Cody at imaginostics.com. If you'd like to support us somehow, we'd love to hear from you as well. You can email me there. And, you know, as you had mentioned at one point, we are fundraising, and hopefully that'll, you know, come to a close within the next couple of months. We've got a good chunk of what we're raising. We're raising 5 million. And we've had check sizes anywhere from 25 to 500,000. So it's sort of in that range. But so if you're interested in, let's say, joining the team, right, let me know. But otherwise, yeah, follow us on LinkedIn, you know, be updated and expect to see this technology out in 2 to 3 years available in sort of any hospital, and then also for preventative diagnostics. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Dr. Cody. I really appreciate your time today. And, you know, just reading your bio and hearing about it, I get excited every time. And I want to just like go and schedule my pre-testing to try to do what prior planning I can to kind of get in the best position for retirement. May not be tomorrow, may not be next year, but, you know, it's all about doing things so that you don't have those surprises and unwanted surprises as we get a little bit older. So, again, Health is the New Wealth, and Beyond the Money is the podcast. And thank you, Dr. Garaguzlu. Thank you so much for your time, and really cheering for you. And we'll be following to kind of see what's going to happen in the next few years with the technology and MRIs. Thank you for transforming our medical system.
Thank you, Jackie, for having me on.
Dr. Cody Garaguzlu is not affiliated with Campbell & Company Wealth Advisors or IPW. Insurance products are offered through the insurance business Campbell & Company Insurance Advisors. Campbell & Company Wealth Advisors and CPAs is an investment advisory practice that offers products and services through Impact Partnership Wealth, LLC, IPW, a registered investment advisor. IPW does not offer insurance products. The insurance products offered by Campbell & Company Insurance Advisors are not subject to investment advisor requirements. Campbell & Company Insurance Advisors and IPW are not affiliated companies. Tax planning services are offered through the tax firm Campbell & Company Wealth Advisors and CPAs. IPW does not offer tax planning services. The tax planning services offered by Campbell & Company Wealth Advisors and CPAs are not subject to investment advisor requirements. Tax planning services referenced are an outside business activity not offered through or supervised by IPW. Investing involves risk, including the potential loss of principal. Any references to protection, safety, or lifetime income generally refer to fixed insurance products, never securities or investments. Insurance guarantees are backed by the financial strength and claims paying abilities of the issuing carrier. MarketGuard is an SEC registered investment advisor located in Inglewood, Colorado. MarketGuard provides model portfolios and investment products to IPW. This podcast is intended for informational purposes only. It is not intended to be used as the sole basis for financial decisions, nor should it be construed as advice designed to meet the particular needs of an individual situation. Our firm is not affiliated with or endorsed by the U.S. government or any governmental agency. The information and opinions contained herein provided by third parties have been obtained from sources believed to be reliable, but accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed by Campbell & Company Wealth Advisors.